Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. We have become accustomed to the uncommon intelligence of Diana West, one of our regulars here at Secure Freedom Radio. She contributes each week to this program, and we've asked her to do so once again in connection with some very important developments of the past few days. Diana, of course, is a syndicated columnist of many years, now a blogger par excellence at dianawest.net, and you can find her writings at the Daily Caller and elsewhere. She is also the author of two best-selling books, Death of the Grown-Up and American Betrayal. It's always a delight to have her, especially today. Welcome, Diana. Good to talk with you.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here to talk with you.
You have been, of course, for some time now, one of the champions of Donald Trump, and I think especially his policy, much discussed during the course of the campaign and intermittently since, that he called America First. And yet you've observed, in connection with the speech that he made night before last about his new strategy for Afghanistan, that that may actually be Afghanistan first rather than America first. Talk a little bit about your thoughts as to what he has announced and where we go from here, Diana.
Yes, well, this was a great betrayal of his campaign promise, of his core beliefs that we were watching him develop on the campaign trail last year, specifically the America First foreign policy, which he quite audaciously expanded on, even as the left and the establishment right sought to paint that as some kind of, quote, isolationist theory, isolationist program that would somehow destroy America's place in the world. He specifically spoke of his desire to seek new people in the foreign policy arena who were not associated with our defeats in Iraq and Afghanistan, either on the diplomatic or the military scene. And yet what we see this week with the plan to ramp up in Afghanistan, to try to win something there undefined and, I believe, unwinnable, with the very same people who, even at the height of the American and allied engagement of 150,000 troops or more, could not prevail. And so this, to me, is a victory for the military-industrial complex, as Ann Coulter has said, and I believe that. And it's also a tremendous disappointment in terms of understanding and anticipating Donald Trump's own nerve to hold to what we believed were his values.
I'm not a big admirer of this concept of the military-industrial complex, I must tell you. I think that what we're looking at is a dispute, a disagreement about how best to try to protect ourselves from what has come out of Afghanistan in the past and may yet come again. But I wonder, Diana, whether the generals who have propounded this approach and that I think you've just described as among those that the president shouldn't be listening to, are going to get us into a mode where we're back to something akin to what we had before. I don't see the 150,000, but I do know that General McMaster, the national security advisor of the president, was urging 50,000 troops. My own view of this is that we ought to be moving away from all of that, not withdrawing, but to adopt something along the lines of what Eric Prince has been discussing of a contractor and CIA run much smaller footprint that, you know, supports the killing of jihadis, but doesn't bleed us dry, either in terms of literally loss of life or the national treasure. But talk a little bit about McMaster and Mattis and perhaps Kelly and their experiences, especially through the prism of the man you've called to our attention at your website, dianawest.net, Major Fred Galvin. His thoughts.
Yes, Yes, I would love to. And I've got Major Galvin's statement at my website, which I do urge people to read because it is quite striking given his own experience in the battlefield in Afghanistan and also Iraq, as a matter of fact.
Remind us what that was, though, Diana. What was Fred Galvin's experience there?
Well, it's quite extensive. He was a leader of the special operators that the Marines set up for the first time in country that became involved in a firefight on one of their very first forays that was an ambush. And it was one of these meet and greet with the local elders, and they were ambushed. They were probably set up.
The meet and greet promoted by sort of the rules of engagement of the day of this counterinsurgency strategy.
Yes, and they responded according to how they'd been trained. They executed their mission perfectly. But what the leadership in the military did, and this includes now General Nicholson, was immediately throw them to the wolves and assume that they had created a massacre, had participated in a massacre of civilians, as the Afghans claimed. They were disgraced. General Nicholson prostrated himself publicly. And he had this was Fox Company, he ejected them from Afghanistan and had Fred Galvin relieve himself of his command in front of his men. Well, they were exonerated by an investigation, and what they are now seeking, and Representative Walter Jones, among others, are trying to do for them, is have the Pentagon or the Marines recognize their exoneration, because these men have had their careers and also personal lives ruined by this slander. It impedes them, for example, in seeking employment, and it has also ruined their own personal lives in various ways. But I think what's really important here to understand is President Trump gave up on the notion of Islamic terrorism in his address on Afghanistan. And I think this takes us back to a completely Sino-Islam blindness as to what the battlefield entails.
Promoted by General McMaster, let us be clear, very much his mode.
Promoted by General McMaster, let's be very clear. Exactly. And so what we're seeing, but this was also part and parcel of the Pentagon establishments, not just McMaster. We've been dealing with this for 10, 15 years now. And I think what's very important, to understand, however, is that any engagement in Afghanistan is to secure a Sharia state. I'm all for killing terrorists that threaten the United States. I have long considered terrorists on a mountaintop in Afghanistan to be less threatening than terrorists sneaking in with Islamic immigration, with the migration in Europe, etc. This is where the threat to the West comes, not on a mountaintop in Afghanistan, is my own feeling. But what we have to face is our government is once again looking at this, the expansionist Islam, with a blindness to Islam that is now going to further engage us in perpetuating another Sharia state. We set up a Sharia state in Iraq. That didn't work out so well. We set up another one in Afghanistan. That is where we are now. And now we're going back to further entrench this dependency, the billions of dollars that continue to be spent. It's like an unfunded contingency. This goes on and on. It's welfare for the world, and it's absolutely a crime that Donald Trump would campaign on reversing this and yet then become completely enveloped by it.
I couldn't agree with you more, Diane, on this central point which you're making, which is that we've got a blindness towards Sharia supremacism, I think is the best way to describe it, and that is manifesting itself in lots of different places. The battlefield in Afghanistan is perhaps one of the most distant. I do think it's important not to be routed out of there by these Sharia supremacists, because I think that will simply reinforce their narrative that we are going to be defeated by them inevitably, which will only compound our problems elsewhere, including here at home. But your key point is we are confronting, or failing to confront, but we are facing, at the very least, this threat growing in our own country as well as overseas. And that point is well taken. In fact, it's the subject of a amicus brief that we've filed in the Supreme Court, urging that Sharia supremacism be used as a filter to prevent the importation of more jihadists here. So this is a subject for another day, and we will have to come back to you on Antifa and Donald Trump in Phoenix and so much more. We've just run hard out of time, but thank you for yours today, Dinah, as always, as well as your thoughtful and sometimes provocative offerings. We look forward to visiting with you again next week. Next up, we'll speak with Ben Weingarten. We'll take stock with him about some of these issues and more. Straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.